Chapter 4. Rain. That hair is a taunt, Kakashi thinks, staring across the training grounds to where Kurama is gliding through a series of entirely unfamiliar katas. There's a storm wind picking up, carrying the reins towards them, and it tugs and teases at Kurama's deep crimson locks. They flutter around his face, a tattered banner of red. As long as that hair is, it's practically an engraved invitation for an enemy shinobi to grab it, use it as a handhold to bring the Uzumaki to his knees. But Kurama moves like a predator, and his katas are quicksilver and as smooth as flowing water. It's a style Kakashi doesn't know, but even watching, he can tell it's tricky, constantly changing direction and utilizing a good many aerial leaps and twists. With that katana of his augmenting it, he's likely nigh on unstoppable. Kakashi is more than willing to put money on the fact that no one ever gets a single step closer to Uzumaki Kurama than he consciously allows. 5 days he's been in Konoha, and 5 days he's spent wandering the streets at all hours. Kakashi's stuck with him as much as possible, but at some point even he has to admit defeat and head to bed, while Kurama continues on without him. From the Anbu guard, Kakashi's learned that the redhead spends maybe 3 hours a night in his apartment, and the rest in the village or the woods around it. It's like he doesn't need to sleep at all, like he isn't accustomed to it. And Kakashi has to wonder what kind of life he's been leading to be so constantly on the edge. And then, of course, there's the grief in his eyes, the lines of weariness in his face as he slips down crowded streets and smiles at passerbys, always a little distant, a little detached, but always fond, an outsider looking in on an unfamiliar but touching scene. The cessation of movement in the field draws his attention back, and the first thing he sees is that banner of red whipping and dancing in the rising wind. Kurama stands with both feet planted and his hands loose at his side, head tipped back and face turned up as the first few drops of rain begin to fall. The green-gray dimness of a fire country rainstorm slides, liquid and languid, over the planes and angles of his too thin face, highlighting the gold of his skin and the impossibly vivid red darkness of his hair. Like a painting, Kakashi thinks, or some quietly dramatic scene out of a movie. He closes his Icha Icha book and slips it away, suddenly feeling like he's intruding on something, imposing his presence when it isn't welcome, isn't right. With an audible rumble, a clatter of drops on tiled roofs, and in dusty streets, the rainstorm breaks. It feels like a physical shattering, the sky falling to pieces as water sheets down over them, rattling the leaves of the trees and drenching both shinobi within seconds. Out in the middle of the field, Kurama blinks like it's a surprise, like the clouds haven't been threatening since yesterday. And then he does something Kakashi doesn't expect. He smiles. He lifts his face to the sky again, tips his head back until the pounding rain is running down his throat, soaking his hair and turning it nearly black, and then he laughs. The smile becomes a grin, and laughter grows brighter, bolder, and Kakashi just stares at the madman out in the rain, so content, even though Kakashi can't quite see anything to be so happy about. But that, too, is something Kakashi's noticed about Konoha's newest jonin. He can be sad, despondent at times, but there's something ultimately happy in him, Something that lets him look around the village and greet people with a smile. Enjoy small things like fresh dango or sunrises or a waxing moon. Kurama is cheerful and prone to laughter, and no matter the grief in him, that part is still very much at the forefront. 5 days in Konoha, and Kakashi suspects that this newest defender will be one of the village's most steadfast. With a faint smile of his own, Kakashi hops down from the tree branch and makes his way through the sheeting rain, ignoring the immediate drenching. He tucks his hands in his pockets and meanders up to stand beside Kurama, who's still grinning. "Like the rain?" he asks, and his voice is about the only part of him that's dry. Shaking his sodden hair out of his face, Kurama turns his smile on Kakashi. His blue eyes are vivid in the dim half-light, full of something that's unnervingly close to wonder. "Yes," he says unreservedly. "It's seeing rain over a village again? It's beautiful." Kakashi blinks, looking down at his companion, and then turns back toward the village, trying to see what he does. A moment of disassociation, of straining his eyes, and Kakashi is just about to give up when something suddenly clicks into place. His gaze shifts, refocuses, and suddenly he can see the way the water bounces and the light reflects, creating halos around everything. He can see the way the leaves shine, impossibly green, and feel the freshness in the air. Smell the dusty earth as it soaks up the moisture and turns to a rich, dark brown. "Ah," he says in surprise, and Kurama laughs at him. "Yes," he agrees, "and it's softer this time, sweeter, beautiful." Another moment of nearly reverent silence passes, and then Kurama shakes his hair out of his eyes and steps away. He scoops up his katana and slides it into its strap, then pulls a length of leather out of his pocket and ties his hair back. "Would you be willing to show me the library?" he asks, without glancing back at Kakashi, eyes still fixed on the roofs of the peaceful village. "I think it's about time I started doing something productive." 5 days, Kakashi wants to protest, though he doesn't quite know why. 5 days of rest after how many months hunting missing Nin? But Kakashi's hardly in the position to lecture anyone about overworking themselves, so he dips his head in acknowledgement and nudges Kurama to the right. "Ma," he says lazily, "Hokage-sama will probably want to start you off with milk runs." "Start us off," Kakashi corrects mentally, grimacing faintly underneath his mask. It's very, very unlikely that the Hokage will assign anyone else as babysitter, since there's still a week until team selections at the academy. Kakashi suspects he'll get stuck with the last Uchiha, but beyond that, there's just a sort of blanket dread about the whole thing. Kurama hums noncommittally as they start back toward the village. Kakashi lets the redhead lead, because he's fairly certain that, with Kurama's very good sense of direction and the fact that he knows they've passed the library at least 4 times on their walks, the new jonin can find it for himself. There's certainly no hesitation in his steps, so Kakashi suspects that the request was simply a well-hidden invitation to join him. Odd, really, that Kakashi doesn't feel like turning it down. Then again, Uzumaki Kurama is a mystery, as much as he is a connection to Kushina, and, through her, to Minato. Kakashi's always been one to cling to his memories, to the remnants of the past, no matter how distant or unhealthy. And he's always enjoyed a good mystery. It's been a very long time since Kurama was last able to enjoy a rainstorm without worrying about Sasuke's illness getting worse in the damp, or finding shelter, or keeping vital supplies dry. He smiles as the drops fall, glorying in the simplicity of peace and the ease of a lazy day as he and Kakashi make their way through the village. People smile and wave, accustomed to his face after so many hours spent wandering, and Kurama waves back, almost gleeful that he can. Sasuke's loss is still an ache, a needle-thin blade lodged deep in his heart, and Kurama is familiar enough with grief to know that it will always be there. He might not remember from time to time, but he will never forget. Nevertheless, there is tranquility to be had in Konoha, a balm for wounds that have been gaping for too long already. That first day, Kurama had thought he would be bombarded with old memories, the reminders of his failures in another life, but instead he found peace. They all fought, back in Kurama's timeline. Everyone who could, right down to the civilians who had the courage to pick up swords and defend their homes, even if they'd never wielded anything more dangerous than a hoe before. For the first few years, every death had been a personal failure, something Kurama should have been able to prevent, but hadn't. In time, though, while each death still tore at him, ripped at his soul and his mind in equal measure, he'd begun to understand that they had all made their choices. They were all doing what had to be done, taking the only remaining option, and only a fool or a madman would accept all the fault. Kurama's never been especially smart when it comes to grief or loss, but he can respect sacrifice. He can accept a friend's dying gesture and grow stronger from their memories. "Kurama-san," an aged voice calls, and Kurama blinks, jolted out of his thoughts. He turns and bows to the Hokage, who is just emerging from a tea house with a familiar figure in tow. Seeing Iruka-sensei is like confronting all over again the fact that he's in the past, that he still has time and opportunity to save those he loves so dearly. It takes so very much effort not to beam at the man and pull him into a tight hug. "Hokage-sama," he answers politely, "how are you today?" The old man smiles at him, warm and fond, and Kurama wonders, just briefly and with some awe, what he's done to earn such an expression. "A bit damp, but otherwise well," he says cheerfully. "I apologize for interrupting your plans, but might I speak with you in my office?" Before Kurama can answer, Iruka has taken a step forward, eyes narrowed, and the redhead almost recoils before he realizes that the expression, a dangerous one, more than capable of cowing kages and reining in entire hordes of rowdy children armed with sharp, pointy objects, isn't directed at him. Kakashi beams his bullshit smile and says innocently, "Ma, Iruka-sensei, what's the matter?" If anything, Iruka's eyes narrow further. "You," he growls, and Kurama takes a discreet step back as the chunin stalks forward. It's telling that the Sandaime does the same. "Your jonin instructor paperwork is 3 weeks overdue, Hatake." There's a long moment of silence where Kakashi simply blinks, and then he reaches up to rub faux sheepishly at the back of his head. "Oh?" he asks guilelessly. "Really?" Iruka makes a sound like a cat dumped into a bubble bath and pounces. Kakashi attempts to evade, springing for the rooftops, but the academy instructor is hot on his heels and lunges again, knocking him off the roof as he touches down and following him over the far side of the building. The sound of wood breaking and something metal impacting something decidedly not rips through the air. And then there's silence again. The Sandaime sighs and covers his eyes with a gnarled hand, muttering under his breath. Kurama gives in to the mirth building in his chest and laughs, shoulders shaking as he tries to contain it, one hand pressed over his mouth and doing little to conceal the sound as it rings through the street. After a moment, the Hokage joins in, shaking his head. "I've been informed," he says wryly, "that there is no other place quite like Konoha, just like there are no other shinobi quite like our shinobi. For once, I think that the Kazekage was telling me the truth." Kurama wipes his eyes, finally managing to regain his breath and snorts. "Wasn't that a chunin?" he asks, because the sight of Kakashi getting his feet swept out from under him and then tossed off a roof is one he's going to hang on to forever. And that's as good a point of connection with Iruka as any. The Hokage huffs out another laugh and steps away, heading for the academy. "Yes, well," he says wryly, "Umino Iruka has always been a very special chunin, and Hatake Kakashi is hardly an average jonin." Falling into pace with him, Kurama snorts. "So I've noticed," he agrees, tilting his face up to meet the rain again. After Madara burned whole swaths of fire country, some sort of twisted, belated revenge against Hashirama, no doubt, the sky always seemed to be choked with ash, and the rain was never clean. This storm is, though, clear and clean and beautiful, smelling like fresh-turned earth and green leaves and growth. He inhales it with relish, unable to fight his smile, and then looks at the old man walking next to him without concern. "Thank you again, Hokage-sama," he says, because it really can't be repeated enough. He came to this time without any plans to return to Konoha permanently. At best, he had thought to slip through whenever his plans allowed, keeping an eye on his old team and his younger self. But the Hokage's invitation changed all that, and Kurama would like to think that it's for the better. Sarutobi flashes him a small, sincere smile. "You are very welcome, my boy," he says, sweeping into the administration division and up the stairs towards his office. Kurama follows, nodding a polite greeting to the Anbu hidden in the shadows of the door as they enter the office. "Come," the Hokage calls cheerfully. "I've tea, Kurama-kun, if you would like, or a very nice sake that my student sent me from Rice Country." Kurama thinks of Tsunade and can't contain his grin. "The sake, please," he says, even though with his constitution he's never actually managed to get so much as tipsy, regardless of how hard Tsunade tried. And she tried very, very hard indeed. Pleasantly buzzed was about as far as he got before she finally admitted defeat. "A good choice," Sarutobi approves, pouring them each a small cup and gesturing Kurama to the chair across his desk. Kurama takes it, accepting the sake. It is good, sweet with a mellow burn, and he closes his eyes in pleasure. Whether the alcohol affects him or not, Tsunade had at least taught him to appreciate the taste. There's a long stretch of comfortable silence, and then Kurama lifts his head to meet the Hokage's eyes. "Was there something you needed besides a drinking partner, Hokage-sama?" he asks with humor. "I'm always willing to indulge in some good sake, of course, but..." The Hokage chuckles softly. "No," he admits, "a drinking partner wasn't my goal, though the company is nice." He pauses, and then says carefully, "The missing nin you captured were all agents of the Akatsuki organization." "Ah, so that's what this is about." Kurama has been expecting this since his return, and has prepared for it. He dips his head in a faint nod and murmurs, "Yes, my approach was systematic. I removed as many of their agents as I could." Sarutobi's fingers close just a little more tightly around his cup. "There have been rumors," he says carefully, "that Konoha's most infamous missing nin was part of that very organization. He has a sizable bounty, and I cannot help but notice that it was not claimed." Kurama sets his cup back on the desk, giving the Hokage his full attention, and nods again. "Yes, Uchiha Itachi's bounty is very large," he agrees, keeping his tone lazy. "However, you're forgetting one thing. I don't hunt innocent men." Sarutobi's breath catches in his throat, more of a tell than a veteran shinobi would ever normally show. He stills, eyes narrowing as they fix on Kurama's face, and there are a thousand thoughts whirling behind those wise, dark eyes. A moment of silence, and then Sarutobi closes his eyes and settles back into his chair with a weary sigh. "So, you know," he says with some resignation, "I had wondered when no one claimed his bounty." Kurama smiles, sad and slight. "I had a friend in the Uchiha clan," he offers. "He knew Itachi and could recognize the stress that he was being put under. However, he also told me that Itachi was entirely loyal to Konoha, even more than he was to his clan, and I would take his word over anyone else's. There had to be another explanation. With the survival of Itachi's little brother, well, the pieces kind of fell together. Bits and pieces of the truth, perhaps, strung together out of order, but it's true enough to ease the tension around the Hokage's eyes, the stiff set of his shoulders. A friend," he echoes with a faint, rueful smile. "He must have been a very good friend indeed, for you to put so much faith in his words." "The best," Kurama agrees without hesitation. "The very best and more." He reaches up to touch the slender braid that still hangs beside his face, warmth and fondness filling him. Because for all that they ended in tragedy, Sasuke is still so very much a part of all of his happiness. He always will be. And in this case, the good memories cannot hold a candle to the bad. Sarutobi watches him, regret in his eyes as his gaze lingers on the red and black threads woven around the twist of hair. "Was it Shisui-kun?" he asks suddenly, and then raises a hand to cut Kurama off before he can even open his mouth. "No, no, never mind me, Kurama-kun. It's your secret to keep, and I will not ask for it." Kurama offers him a smile, soft for all it's sad, and says nothing. He won't deny it, because the assumption is a useful one, but he also won't confirm it, because Sasuke is worth more than that. "What will you do?" he asks instead. "I've been keeping tabs on Itachi, just to make sure no one else claims the bounty." He hesitates, wondering how much to reveal, and then adds cautiously, "There have been rumors of a rising threat in the Land of Sound." Those sharp eyes flicker up to meet his, and the Hokage arches a brow. "Yet another Konoha bounty you have not claimed," he says reservedly. Kurama grimaces, hands clenching in his lap as he imagines wrapping his fingers around Orochimaru's slimy throat. He agrees, keeping his voice carefully light. "But this one, I assure you, is simply because I lacked the opportunity before now." Sarutobi watches him carefully for a long moment before he inclines his head slightly. "I will think on it," he murmurs. Sensing that the meeting is coming to a close, Kurama pushes to his feet. "Good," he returns. Another hesitation, and then he takes a breath and says, "From what I've been able to learn, there were other factors that night as well. I have no doubts as to Uchiha Itachi's skill, but it is possible there was another presence that night as well. A step forward with the plan, early perhaps, but one he and Sasuke agreed upon nevertheless. Madara and Obito managed to hide in the shadows for far too long, but this time it won't go the way they wanted it to. Already, Kurama has managed to shred their power base, to drive them back into hiding. At this point, Madara is still dead, not yet revived, and Kurama has faith that Obito can be called back to sanity. He has the will of fire, after all, and it still burns inside him. Kurama will appeal to that and hope for the best, but he's prepared for the worst as well. He'll do anything, whatever he must, to keep this world from falling as his did."